We're going to talk about that today if you ain't figured out the theme of the weekend. But praise God. Doesn't it feel good to be free? You know, Angela said something. Doesn't matter how bad this country looks right now, I'd still rather be here. I'm telling you, folks, if people out there running around, running the country down, feel free to go visit another country. This is the only country we have the rights to say what we want, to live what we feel and believe. This is the only country out there. England's not like this. England is just as repressed. At least here, our founding fathers said, you have these rights, and they're not given to you, ladies and gentlemen, by a government. They were given to you by the God we serve. So remember that. And he paid a price so that you could be free today, free from chains of bondage to the things that used to hold you back. You know, there's an old Imperial song that talked about, and when I say old, some of y'all weren't even born. This is 70s material. And praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord. For our God inhabits our praise. Praise the Lord. For those chains that seem to bind us serve only to remind us that they will fall powerless behind us when we praise his name. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what you went through this week. I don't care what we're going to go through tomorrow or today. Praise the Lord. Those chains fall off. If sin does not have you bound, you aren't bound. You're only bound in your head because somebody told you you're bound. I'm a free man, and I will live and die a free man. That's just how it goes. Hallelujah. Let's bless the tithing offering. Again, today is war on the floor, so if you got a prayer request, make sure Pat gets it. And we'll be praying for these things. And if you ain't, yes, our country is right there on the top of our list. We got lots of other things to be praying for as well, but I just letting you know. If you ain't praying throughout the week for this country, better up your prayer life. That's all I got to say. If you ain't getting in your Bible, learning what's going on, Jesus told us this stuff was going to happen. People would betray. Jesus said people would betray each other. That means family members too. That's how close, intimate it was. Father would be against son, daughter against mother. It shouldn't be like that, but it doesn't have to be if love. Anyhow, maybe we'll get some more of that. But let's bless the tithe and offering, shall we? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you, Lord. First off, to be living into this great country. Lord God, we bless the United States. Father, we bless the leaders that are trying hard to hold this country together. Lord, we bless them. We pray that you give them wisdom, give them knowledge far above anything, Father. Now, Lord, we thank you also for the opportunity to bring our tithe and offering to you, Lord, for a simple principle that said if we'd bring the tithe into the storehouse, that you would bless us. Now, Father, we do this as an honor to you, not just because you said it, but because that it brings you honor. And, Father, you also said, try us, try you in this. And so, Father, I'm here as somebody who has tried you and found you faithful above and beyond. I bless the tithe and offering in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You may be seated and those super kids may be dismissed. Well, praise the Lord. You know, there are days that you just feel like you're always dragging something with you, don't you? You wake up, it's like, where did that come from? Why? Where's this blue funk? You just hear one weird song, right? Anybody ever been there? You hear a song, you're like, oh, man. You just get thrown into a blue funk. And how do I get out of it? Well, I just told you. You praise the Lord. That don't mean you got to get out in the aisles and dance. That don't mean you got to run up and down shouting hallelujah, screaming top of your head. Listen, I'm going to tell you, y'all been around me long enough to know, I'm not moved by sensationalism. I'm moved by genuine conversion. I've been in services where people have ran and screamed and walk right out and go to the bar, get drunk, and get killed in a car accident. That's maybe a bit extreme on the, but eventually something happened. I'm talking about real conversion, where you're set free from sin, set free from addictions. Sin is addicting, isn't it? Don't say it isn't. We wouldn't sin if it wasn't fun. Why sin? Why do it? Because somebody said, don't do it. Here's the way the Apostle Paul put it. He said, I have found that all things are lawful for me. All things are lawful. They're not all beneficial. I didn't drink because it tasted good. Most of the stuff I drank was awful. But I drank because I liked how I felt. I felt free. I wasn't held by inhibitions anymore. But here I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus set me free. I didn't need that drink to be free anymore. I realized I can be stupid and have fun. Nobody had to coax me. Here, no, I got to be a good boy. I can't be wild and crazy. I can't do the things I did then, now, of course. But I'm allowed to have fun. I'm allowed to enjoy the things God has given me. I'm allowed to enjoy this life. I'm so sick and tired of preachers preaching you can't enjoy life. If you've got joy in your life, there's something wrong. Jesus came that I may have a good life. When does it become relevant that I can live a good life? I had somebody call me the other day and wanted to talk because they were told that if they didn't lay down their life, then they weren't going to go to see Jesus. He wasn't going to take them in the rapture. I know the Bible says to lay your life down, you got to find life, you got to lose your life. That does not mean you cannot enjoy your life. Because this person was like, I'm finally enjoying some of my life. I've been through hell and back, and life is good right now. Is it wrong that I'm enjoying my life? I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Abundant should be joyful, right? Abundance should mean things are going good for me. Well, you know, Pastor, it sounds like you're saying that, you know, we should just give in. No. I don't go do stupid things anymore. I don't do sinful things. I don't throw gasoline on fire anymore. I'm the kid that did that at 9. Burned off my bangs, my eyebrows, my eyelashes, and singed my Mickey Mouse shirt. I learned my lesson once. You don't throw gasoline on open fires. That was stupid. That was sinful. I could have burned my neighbor's barn down. Because we were stoking the fire with straw. And the whole barn, why it had a wood stove in it is beyond me. But it did. It was really stupid. But folks, we're alive and well today because Jesus set us free. I kept trying to think, well, Lord, do I just do something about liberty and freedom? And there was a couple of scriptures I had on liberty. And then I stand back here and God said, here's what I want you to look at. And then when Angela, I have not seen, I swear to you, I did not see the song list. And I thought, there we have it, Jesus. You just laid the message out with the praise and worship service. You started showing us to be free. And we've got to start being free. People writing today, they aren't free. I'm here to tell you, they're exercising liberties. And I will say this. Yes, there probably is definitely some room for improvement in a lot of areas, right? But you don't go to the extreme and hurt innocent people. That's when you cross the line. The freedom to protest is not harming another individual. That's not freedom. That is not right. To stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves, that is right. But you do not hurt the other people. It's a fine line. Love is a fine line. It's so hard sometimes to walk in love, isn't it? I know what I think when I see these reports. Not only as a husband, a father, a man, as a veteran, I know what I think. But then I have to bring it back and weigh it in with what Jesus told me what love is. It's not that I don't have emotions about things. You can ask my wife. She gets to hear them. The news is on. She turns the news off when I come in now, just so I don't get up on a soapbox. We are called to walk in love. Sometimes love has to take a hard stand. And other times love needs to stop and look and see people who are genuinely hurt. And then see other people who are manipulative. Do not for one minute think people will not manipulate a situation. They will do it. They'll do it at schools. How many of you remember being in school and somebody just kept stirring something up and just kept kicking it up, and it was like, why are we still talking about this? What's going on in the world right now? Your guess is as good as anybody else's. I mean, what, we went from COVID to murder hornets, to the riots, to meth gators. Y'all heard about them, right? People flushing their meth down the toilets and it's going out into the water system, and meth alligators are starting to show signs of being meth addicts and they're becoming more aggressive. I'm telling you. I'm just waiting for the UFOs, that's all. Woo! It's a crazy time. However, the one thing that is not going to ever change is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we've been set free. And what people are wanting to be free of is sin. They don't realize what is sin. Is bigotry sin? Absolutely, positively. Jesus was not a white man, was not of European descent. He was of Middle Eastern descent. So more than likely, he had darker skin than you and I. Some of you may have better tans. He was of darker skin, more than likely black hair. Very likely black hair. Very likely it was very coarse. Possibly a broad nose. Well, I look at Israel and I don't see anybody who looks like it. Most of them are European Jews. They weren't necessarily of a pure race at that point. They came from all over. They came from Russia. They came from Poland. They came from all over the world to reassemble. Their line is of Abraham. But those people that would have lived in that area, Jesus worked out in the sun. By the way, Jesus wasn't this great-looking guy who walked around in a one-piece robe all the time. The Bible says he was homely. I know. Every picture I see of Jesus, oh, he's a pretty good-looking dude. He's a little skinny. When's the last time you saw a guy who worked with rock? Well, it says he was a carpenter. Yeah, carpenters can work with rock because that's all they had. They'd burned down all the trees, rebuilding and building and rebuilding and building and rebuilding through all the wars. So they cut stone and made their houses. He worked with his hands. Jesus' hands would have been rough. Calloused. If you needed your back scratched, all you had to do was do that. He was a roughneck. He wasn't this proper preacher that would get up and speak. It was the words that Jesus spoke that's what got people to follow him. He didn't have a cult of personality, unlike the song. Yes, they do mention Jesus in the song. You gave me power in your God's name. Did that just go everybody's head? JFK, everybody look, oh, he's a good-looking man. I'd have voted for him, I ain't gonna lie. He wasn't Saul. He wasn't King Saul, was he? King Saul was chosen because he looked the part. He was head and shoulders taller than everybody else. So he was 6 foot plus. Because your average Jewish person is about 5'7", 5'8". My height, unless I've shrunk, I refuse to measure myself. In my mind, I am still 5'8". But Jesus was somebody who spoke truth, and it resonated in people's ears and in their heart, and they heard the truth. And then when they came and they accepted what he taught, they were set free. They weren't brought into bondage. If I come into you saying, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not wear shorts. How many? I'm going to ask for no show of hands, because I'm up here wishing I had a pair on right now. Well, Bible doesn't say anything about it. I get a little sideways when somebody says, well, real men don't wear short pants. I got a couple words for you. I can't say them from up here. You want to find out who a real man is? Broken back or not, we're going out back. That's all I got to say about that. Length of my pants ain't got nothing to do with my manhood. That's all there is to it. Being a man is standing up for what's right. Being a man is loving your spouse, your children. Being a man is being able to realize when you're wrong and admitting it. And that's a hard... For everybody, I'm just going to put everybody in that boat. Everybody has a difficult time admitting they're wrong. But speaking as a man, it can sometimes get a little... Just a little bit more. I'm getting all these blank stares from the women. I'm admitting we're wrong sometimes. Sometimes. But that's a rough one to do. Because we've been taught that the man's word was the man's word. Didn't matter if we were wrong. What if we were wrong about something? Well, I can't go back on it. You're not a king and you're not the creator, and the creator is never wrong and the king is usually wrong. So admit that you were wrong, get your family back on track and get moving. I'd hate to have been behind a leader, I never had to have this happen, who was dead wrong leading us into battle. Oh, we weren't supposed to come here. You think? It's a straight up wall. We're not equipped to climb walls. We don't have the weapons. We don't have the tools. We were supposed to infiltrate a door. And there's nothing here. Well, how do you compensate for it? You fix the problem. Continue on with your mission. Same thing with men. Now, open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 8. Verse 31. It says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, now mind you, I want to point out something right here. It says, those who believed him. These were people that heard his word and they were believing what he said. If you abide in me, in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Abide means to live, dwell by his word. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. We're free. Oh, wait a minute. This word know is the knowledge that has an inception, a progress, and an attainment. It is the recognition of truth by personal experience. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why I have a problem with somebody who got saved yesterday and by the end of the week, they have tent meetings. You don't know anything yet. What do you mean? We got to take years and years and years? Oh, no, you just got to experience what it's like to be a Christian, a true Christian. Not just somebody who got a little bit of head knowledge about what it means to be free. Somebody who realized, oh, I got free from my sins. Oh, hallelujah, praise Jesus. Go by the end of the week, you're still doing what you always did before, but now you're preaching that Jesus set you free. The truth of God's word is what sets you free. Jesus said a lot of things we weren't supposed to be doing, but yet the church did them. Jesus said a lot of things that we should, forgive. I think that's the number one issue I think the church has a problem with, is forgiveness. Forgiving people. Now we know, because I've taught you, love does not keep bringing up your past. If you forgave somebody, it's gone. Just like you flushed the toilet and it's gone. You leave it. You don't go dig up what's in the septic tank, do you? I'm waiting for a hand. I ain't seen one hand go up to see people sitting there playing in the septic tank. Nobody here works for Tidy Tim that I'm aware of. I do not envy those guys whatsoever. Why then do we go dig up somebody's past and keep throwing it in their face? Well, you were this. Oh, by the way, you may do it and not realize you're doing it. You may actually be harboring unforgiveness because you refuse to ultimately let it go. You're still holding on to it by way you treat people or that person who offended you. Well, I'm just not going to ever be in that situation. Well, I agree with you. If you keep getting hurt, why do you keep sticking your hand in front of the dog that keeps biting you? However, it doesn't mean that you keep coming up, and when the dog bites you, you bit me 10 times. Who's the fool? Find out why the dog's biting you. Why the dog has offended you. Maybe the dog's hurt. Anybody ever tried to help a hurt dog? What are they going to do? They're going to bite you, or going to try to, because they don't know you're there to help them. And then we need to realize that's why they lashed out at me. They answered him. Again, this is the people who believed in Jesus. He was preaching and they were believing. They answered him and said, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone." anybody see a problem with that statement? I do think I remember something about being slaves in Egypt. And while they were not technically slaves in this current situation, they were definitely hard-pressed servants of Rome. Which, by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, but they invited Rome. They invited Rome, the very people who oppressed them. They asked them for help. That's like us asking the devil for freedom. Satan, help me get free from this. Oh, okay, I'll come in. I'll free you from that, but what I'm going to do is actually hook you. You're going to like my protection. Eventually, it cost Israel their country because Rome came in and destroyed them, scattered them abroad so that God could bring them back. But I'm here to tell you, folks, we have to be careful with what we grab hold of. Well, if I can do anything, then I'm just going to do whatever I want, whatever I please. If my heart does not condemn me, then I'm not in sin. Maybe you've got a stone-cold heart. If your heart isn't convicting you of what's right and wrong anymore, there's something wrong with your heart. You're just a little bit calloused. I heard one time that snipers, they would take a fingernail file, and they'd file just the tip of their finger, just ever so gently, just to make it tender. By the way, do not do that. It hurts. I did it. I thought, I'm going to try that. Got my little emery board out, filed that down just a little bit. And the reason they do that is so that when they're gently squeezing on the trigger, they know how much pressure that trigger is required, and they want to know exactly when that shot's going to go off because they know the pain. Not a wise idea to do that. We have got to know ourselves. God, I'm falling short in this area. Help me. Lord, I need some guidance. I need to trust you. You know what it means to just trust somebody? We've all seen the videos of the trust fall. Make sure you don't have somebody who's super distracted. I've seen too many of those. People, oh, wait a minute, and they walk off and the guy falls flat on the ground. To trust God means you say, God, I'm here. It's my life, but I give it to you. Now, it doesn't mean God didn't give you dreams for a reason. Dreams and goals in your life. He's got them there for a purpose. I had dreams and goals in my life. I just had a different course I had to go on to hit my dreams and goals. I'd always wanted to be self-employed. We were in business. We were doing some things early on. And everybody else's goals are, I want to be all this. I want this. And I just said, I want to start a construction company. I want to be free. I want to have a construction company. That was my dream. I didn't need the other thing to bring my dream. I needed God. When I put myself in God's hands, he said, here's your dream. And he brought my dream about. It wasn't quite the dream that I thought it would be. But 20 years later, I'm still self-employed. Now that's honestly, people say, well, I'd love to be self-employed. Can you be hard on yourself? Can you make yourself get up when you don't feel like getting up and go to work and do what you got to do? It's easy when you got a boss, when you've got an overlord. It's something else when you got to crawl out of the bed at 2 or 3 in the morning so that you can get to a job by 5 on the other side of the state, and then you be the last one out because you have to load up all your stuff again. Well, but you know what? God's been good. I don't have to do that anymore. He said, when you make yourself faithful in the little, he'll make you faithful in the much. Now, let me get back to where I was at. And you say, you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to the sin. You are now its puppet. Many people don't know, but the Metallica song, Master of the Puppets, is exactly about that. About how drug addiction makes you its puppet. It's now the master of the puppet. It controls everything. I know we got quite a few people in here who have experienced that. It calls the shots. You don't know why you're doing it. Every addiction will do it. I don't know why I do this. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Jesus changed who we are in him the night he had the dinner with his disciples. He said, I no longer call you my servants. Why? Because a servant leaves the main house, do they not? There are still houses even around here that have a back staircase. The servant was not allowed to use the front staircase. They were to use the back staircase. They were never to be seen. Jesus said, I don't call you my servants. I call you my friends. And then, after he died and resurrected, the Apostle Paul gave us a revelation. We're now sons and daughters. We've been adopted in. Guess what, folks? We get to use the front staircase now. People get to see us. They get to know who we are. They can talk to us. By the way, you should talk to everybody with the same respect. I saw something on Facebook the other day, or this morning I got up, and I thought, that is so much the truth. The person, it was a meme that said, I was raised to treat the CEO of the company the same as the janitor. Well, the CEO makes more, and he should deserve more respect. Well, I tell you what, let's fire the janitor, not let the toilet get clean for about 2 weeks, and see who you respect more in 2 weeks. The CEO who will not come down and clean the toilet, or the janitor who held his breath and cleaned that stinky thing every day. We're the ones that put priorities on jobs. We're the ones that say, well, that job's worth more than this. By the way, you ought to be grateful you weren't in Rome's time. No. It was bad. They used sponges. They had somebody had to clean them things. Nope. You can just kill me now. I will run away every day. We have got to start treating people with respect. All people. Doesn't matter if you like them. That's the world's way of dealing with people. I treat this person with more respect than the other. No, I expect you to treat me with respect. You should respect the position, but I deserve the same respect as my brother does, and he deserves the same respect as me. You treat all people with the same respect. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I want to read you something about that word. Made free. It means to liberate, acquit, set free, deliver. In the New Testament, the word is used exclusively for Jesus' setting believers at liberty from the domination of sin. You've been set free, ladies and gentlemen. You've been set free of that anger. There's a time to be angry, and the word says, and sin not. Did you know you can be angry and not sin? I believe Jesus cleared the temple with a bit of anger. Now everybody keeps showing that up for violence and stuff, but let's understand something. The temple was not supposed to be for the sale of goods or the exchange of money. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves. Because they were overcharging people that came from other parts of the country to worship. That's why we do not sell CDs. Matter of fact, I'd just soon you go online and download it to your phone or your MP3 player, if that's still even a thing anymore. You can go online and you can listen to the message without having to download it. Just hit play. Because the Word of God, in my opinion, was meant to be free. And if we're charging and overcharging, I get it. It costs a little bit of money. But it didn't cost $100 to produce that CD. My opinion. Just let me state that. I don't intend on being rich. I don't want anybody in here to say, well, you know what? We made Pastor rich. I'm going to tell you right now, there could be three people in here and God would still provide for me. He always does and always will. And I'm a lot like the Apostle Paul. I don't care what's happened to me. I'll go back to work. I'll do what I have to do. I know so many preachers, they forgot what hard work was. They forgot what a decent day's work is. They don't respect, and that's been a problem I've had for years with preachers. They didn't respect what the people in the church did. The people who cleaned the floors, who painted the walls. Well, guess what? I've done all of that, to and include cleaning the toilets, and I have, at times, not very often, changed a diaper or two. Being the oldest of five, I really wasn't keen on having to do too many more diaper changes. But we are free in Christ. We are set free from these sins. Judging each other. Don't you? Each one of the. I just told you that it's a progressive thing. Every person should be growing. Not every plant grows at the same speed, does it? I have three identical tomato plants in my garden, right in a row. They are about that far apart from each other. All of them are in cages. I have one that is about this tall. I have one that is this tall, and I have one that is about that tall. I planted them on the exact same day. They were the exact same height when I planted them. They aren't growing at the same speed. The big one has got tomatoes on it. Same thing with some of my squash plants. Don't know why, but we got two gigantic ones up there. We've been eating squash off of them for about a week now. I got this other one. He's about yay tall and about that big around. Just got blooms. Don't know what the difference made. I treated the ground the same exact way. Don't know. So why is Harold and Caleb growing at different rates? They're different people. Harold may have things that he can grab hold of and understand quicker and grow quicker than Caleb, but Caleb may have things that because of life's experiences, he can grow quicker and grasp. He gets it. We all get things differently. I've told some of you, I learned more about God 4 years in the military than I did in 30 years of the church. Because of some of the things that I saw in the Bible about faith. You want to please God? How many is that? That should be our desire, right? It's to please God, right? He said, it is impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible. You will never please God if you don't have faith. And I'm not just saying, well, I believe in Jesus. Hallelujah. That means every day you get up, Father, where's my path going today? What road am I going down? It means no matter how hard that path gets, you're ready to throw in the towel and say, I quit. Well, just so you know, your path would have probably led down that road anyhow, but you didn't have God with you. No matter what path we go down, we're going through this path with this country right now. Like it or not, we're all in it. We are in this world, but we're not of it. That means we will be affected to a degree. To a degree. The devil thinks he can come in and run roughshod, but the true believers in Christ know he cannot. He has been put under Jesus' feet. I don't care what the government says. I really don't. I care what Jesus is going to say when I stand before him. And he said, I told you to take a stand. Well, what stand are you taking, Pastor? I'm here. I've been here. There are churches that still aren't open. I've been preaching. I preached the same thing all the way through. And I'm telling you, people, get ready. I'm not telling you because, oh, hallelujah, praise Jesus, I'm going to get a whole new series going on here, and we're going to travel the country, and we're going to preach, teach people. No, I'm telling you right now, get your lives right with Jesus. Because it could be 30 seconds, it could be 30 days, it could be 30 years. I don't know. I don't care. I just know it's time. Things are happening. And if your life is not right, your heart is not right, your heart's where the judging starts. And if you can't receive the word of God, then he said, first off, you've got to forgive or you will not be forgiven. That's Jesus' words, folks. The letters in red. Forgive so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. Oh, yeah, we also taught that in the the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us this day our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. As we forgive. How many want God to forgive you as you've forgiven other people? Yeah. I mean, we're like this. Well, yeah, I'm trying, Jesus. I'm trying, but based on my past, on how maybe I've brought people's past up and threw it in their face, maybe I don't want God to judge me according to that. So maybe I better do a better job of forgiving. That's what we do. The Marine Corps, we had leadership principles. 14. Or leadership traits. They were J.J. Did Tie Buckle. That's how we remember. We made an acronym out. Military makes acronyms out of everything, just so you can remember it. The one that I always memorized, just so, because we always had to have it on promotion boards and anytime you're in inspection, what's one of your 14 leadership principles or traits? To know yourself and seek self-improvement. To know who I am. Who are you in Christ? Well, you're more than a conqueror. Well, I don't feel like it. There you go. Now, judge yourself so that you won't be judged and start improving. Quit judging the guy at the end of the aisle who's down there, his heart's breaking. Yeah, he's got addictions. Or your sister, she's got addictions. Pray for them. Love on them. That's not any weird love on thing, just so y'all know. As soon as you start saying love on in the charismatic church, some funky things start happening. It doesn't mean you run their life either. It means you pray for them. I will say this about what I've seen about the AA program. When people need help, they call their sponsor, and their sponsor's there to talk with them. But I'm going to tell you right now, without Jesus Christ, they're always going to need you as their sponsor. Who do I go to? I go to Jesus. I cannot tell you how many times I've written letters to God. I got to get it off my chest. And the words just ain't coming out my mouth. Because if the words do come out my mouth, they're going to come out kind of angry. But if I sit down, dear Father, you know the situation I'm looking at. You know how I feel. You know how they feel. And as I start writing that out, God starts helping me see maybe from their side. And I always have ended up in the end saying, Father, I thank you for them. I bless them. I pray for them, Lord. Help them, da-da-da-da-da, whatever. And I may hold on to it for a couple days, but then I'll burn it. And God has helped me through many, many things like that. Maybe that's what you need to do. Simple letter. God, I'm struggling. You're crying out. That's all there is to it. People have taught us so many weird things that, well, you got to come before the altar. Listen. I'm one of those guys, this is a building. You're the church. This whole thing could burn. Who cares? We'll meet in a barn. I know one church that converted a barn. I ain't talking about converting it. You're going to look at the wind blowing through, the bats up in the top. We'll hold church in the barn if we have to. I don't care. This is a building. That's why, well, why aren't you more concerned about this, this, and this? It's a building. If people are drawn to your building, they're there for the wrong reasons. If people are drawn because of your programs, they're there for the wrong reasons. Well, they got in. Yeah, that's great. The bait is good. But is the food? Is the food going to propel you to grow greater as a leader? When I say leader, anybody that becomes a Christian after you, they're looking up to you. Well, I see this person, and I see that person. You know, I have, from my vantage point, a unique opportunity. I know the struggles. of nearly every one of you. And when I look up here and I look out there, I see people who love God. I know what they're going through. And I want to tell you, you are more than a conqueror in all these things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens you, and not all the demons in hell can stand. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. He has no right. And he wouldn't be much of an enemy if he didn't try. He tried with your Lord and Savior, didn't he? And we only have the time recorded once, and it said for a more opportune time. I believe the devil waited, just as in the movie The Passion, that he waited. Y'all remember the night in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying, and he's so stressed, his blood vessels, the little tiny capillaries and stuff, are starting to burst because of the stress. You think you've been stressed? Wait till you start sweating blood. His blood pressure was so high that he just started bursting, and he's like, Father, please, if there's another way, let it pass. But not my will, Lord, yours and yours alone. It was the road that he had to go. We're all on the same road. We just have different views sometimes. But always know that as long as you've got brothers and sisters, and that's why I try to get people to understand about the importance of a church body, a church family, you've always got brothers and sisters. They're always there. That's what I love when I see a prayer request come across on Facebook for the church group. You got it to the right place. People are praying. And I want you to understand, I may not comment on there, or I may give it a thumbs up. It's not meaning that I like what you're going through. It means I saw it, and I'm praying. And I may not comment, but know this, I'm praying. Because I'm not the one that's good with the words like that. She is. I'm the one that'll get up and say, forget this. I ain't calling the devil this slew foot thing. I'm going to call him everything but what he is. I'm not a nice person when it comes to fighting. There's a side of me y'all ain't ever seen. Few people have come close to seeing it. But I'm going to tell you right now, when it comes to my brothers and sisters in the Lord, I don't take it lightly. And I don't want you taking it lightly. Doggone it. We're in the same ark, so to speak. We're all getting tossed to and fro. I really hope for Noah's family and Noah that God and the animals, that God stabilized that ship somehow. Because I don't do well in enclosed environments and being flopped back and forth. But know that. Now, having said that, Pat, will you bring the prayer request up? If you got one, give it to Pat real quick. We'll be praying. We're going to believe that God's going to move in these things. We've had some awful things happen this week. Several people's lives. There was a police officer shot point blank almost in Toledo. Left behind a 2-year-old child and a wife. He was 26. And not even from a protest or anything. He was just a drunk. The guy did end up committing suicide, but folks, just like that man, why did he feel it necessary? What was he facing? And then he came to reality of what he'd just done. We've got to cry out to God. We've got to start telling people that he loves them, and so do we. And that means we'll pray for them. You see something happening, start praying. You are more powerful than you believe. Just one little step. Okay. We're going to be praying for all these things. And folks, I'm telling you, I believe, when we say revival again, you know I'm not talking about where people just get all happy and go out and they forget who God is. I want people's lives transformed. As I sit, you know, as I'm standing up here looking around, there's somebody, a lot of you I didn't know before we started this church. Some of you, I've watched how God has taken you as a new young believer and raised you up into a powerhouse. And the devil keeps telling you, no, you're not powerful. You know, a little bit of nitroglycerin, just a little bit, can leave a big hole. I remember as a kid, we used to go to this little town in Nitro. I call it a little town. It always seemed so big to me. In West Virginia, called Nitro. I always wondered what that weird smell in the air was. And then I got a little older, and my dad told me, it's called Nitro because that's where they made nitroglycerin. And when you realize that for miles along the Kanawha River in West Virginia, if anybody had had an accident, it would be a lake. It would have eliminated that valley. Amazing what just a little bit. Don't think it's your prayer life. Here's your challenge. You know, I like giving you challenges. This week, I want you to call out by name family members who need Jesus. Start calling them out. Ask, well, you ain't got to be the one to tell them. Start praying the Lord of the harvest to send the laborers, to plant the seed, to water the seed, to harvest the seed. That's what the Word tells us to do. You start believing. You start praying. It may not be 6 months. It might be 6 years. It might be 6 minutes. And they find they're at the end of their rope. You start praying. Start believing for them. That's your challenge. You at home too. Start believing. We're going to pray for these requests. Like I said, this country is always one of those things. We're going to believe God's going to do great. I've seen God do great things. And yes, I've seen things happen that we prayed against. I'm not going to sit here and say I know the full will of God on every little thing. And anybody that does, they're grossly mistaken. There are things you don't know about. I know what I believe, and I know what I stand for. So let's go before the Lord. Before we do, though, I just about forgot. I'm going to stick these right here. I didn't about forget. I just forgot the order I wanted to do this. Eli, if you'd come up. For those of you who don't know, this is Eli Rawlins and the Rawlins family. They're relatively new here. We've been seeing Addie for a little bit. But Eli is going to be going to boot camp. So, now, he is your Air National Guard when you're done with all your training, so he will be coming back to us. But still, he's going to be going to Lake Lackland Air Force Base for training. And so we're going to pray for him because, you know, this day and age, you know, I told Angela last night, I said, man, I don't know what to tell somebody in this day and age, go or not to go. You know, back in my day, I was like, yeah, go. But, you know, now we're like, man, this country's up in upheaval. But I'm proud of young men and women who will stand up, who will go and do what needs to be done. And so it doesn't matter what branch they do. They have their own jobs. Just so you know, we will always give you garbage. Your dad and I will always give you his dad's army. But that's just going to happen. That just means welcome to the club. But anyhow, so I want y'all to do that. And remember, you know, hey, there's always somebody who's heading off to boot camp. There's going to be thousands every week that are heading off to boot camp. So, you know, I know his dad's proud as a peacock. I can see him back here. But so we're going to pray for him and bless him. and as he goes forth. Amen? All right. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for this opportunity to bless our brother Eli. Father, as he goes forth into this new chapter in his life, Father, I know pages of his life that have, the book got shut on him. But Lord, we know that you have the whole book. So Father, as he goes forth into boot camp, Lord, I pray right now protection over him, protection over his mind, over his body, over his spirit, Lord, from anything the enemy might throw at him. Father, I thank you and praise you that you have given him a sound mind, Father, that he will be able to grasp hold of each and everything that those instructors are throwing at him, Lord, that you will help him to do his very best in all things, Father. And now, Lord, I thank you and praise you that you're setting him up with the instructors that he needs. Father, with everybody, the people around him, Lord God, and Father, those that may ask him how he's handling this so well, Father, that you give him the words. Lord, I thank you and praise you, Lord, that you're moving in his life, Father, but not just for this chapter, Father, but for the rest. Lord, that you are setting his paths on, or his feet on your path now. So, Father, I bless him. I thank you and praise you, Father, that he's going forth in your righteousness, in with your armor right now, in Jesus' name, amen. Proud of you, buddy.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to pray. You might as well stay standing. Hallelujah. We got a few things to pray for here, and but no, God already knows yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He knew them all. Hallelujah. So let's go before the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you once again that we could come before you bringing our burdens. We can lay them before you at the altar. Now, Father, you know these requests. Father, some of these requests aren't even for the people sitting in here. Father, I thank you that you move on people to pray for others. And now, Father, we pray for Herbert right now. Lord, you see he's going into surgery. Or he's had surgery, his surgery's gone wrong. Lord God, I speak life right now to that leg, and I declare they will not have to amputate. Father, we stand believing in your power, that you will touch that man's leg, Father, and whatever went wrong, Lord God, you will correct it. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving in Herbert's life. Father, that you're ministering your peace and love to him right now in all these things. Father, I pray that resentment and anger, Father, will melt away from him right now, Lord, so that you may work mightily in his life. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father, we pray for the family of Rick Malone. Father, we just ask, Lord, right now that your peace would surround him, or surround them, Lord God. Father, knowing that he is no longer in pain and he is no longer uncomfortable with his body. Father, we know that the loss is felt. Father, I pray that you touch them. Lord, bring comfort to them. Lord, Father, wrap your arms around all of them right now in Jesus' name. And Father, we also lift up the family of this young man who works in Delaware, Lord, who was killed the other day and left behind several small children and a wife. Lord, we pray right now that you help Mama deal with this grief. We pray that you help her explain to her children the loss. Father, we pray that you wrap that family right now in your arms. Lord God, send people around to love them. Father, we bind anybody that would prey on that family in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and praise you that you're moving in this situation. Lord God, that what the devil has meant for destruction, Lord God, you will bring life and good out of this thing in both of these situations. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Father, we pray right now, Father, that you continue to work. Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in Josh and Whitney's life. Father, you see he's applied for a job, a better position, Lord, a better job. I ask, Father, right now, Lord God, first off, your will. We want your will. I know they want your will. But Father, if this is it, then Lord, you will move heaven and earth to make this thing happen for them in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that you're going to be touching them, Father, and that through their lives, Father, through what they've been through what they've experienced and seen, Lord, that people will know that you are real in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for this country right now. We pray for our president. We pray for every one of the leaders, Lord God, even those that are seemingly trying to tear the country apart. Lord God, I bind division in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you and praise you that you can, Lord, unless these things are to happen and that there are things that we are not going to stop, Lord, we bind it. Father, we pray for this country once again to come to know you, to fall to her knees and to worship you, and not rules, not regulations, not a dead dry religion, but to come into a relationship with you and who you are. Father, we pray for our president. We ask, Lord God, that you give him wisdom. Lord, help us all to curb our anger, to curb our words, Father, that we will speak life into these situations, Father. Father, I pray that I pray for the body of Christ in this country. Lord God, that we will stand up, we will take back what belongs to you, Father, but we're not doing it in a violent way. Father, we're going to do it with what your word says to do. We will pray. Father, you said we have more than enough power. So right now, we declare life back into the body of Christ. Father, not to go back to the way we were before, but to be changed once and for all. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in this country. Father, we bless Israel today. Father, we pray for her leaders, that you lead them and you guide them. Father, that you set her enemies on their heels in the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray for all of our troops, those are still stateside and those who are deployed. Father, we pray for your protection around them, Lord God. We pray for vigilance would be their top priority, Lord, that they be paying attention to what's going on around them, Father, that there be no stupid actions that can be linked back to them because they weren't doing their job. Father, we pray for them for all of those things in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for these people. Lord God, I bless them. Father, as we have celebrated independence from a tyrant king, Lord God, we stand here today celebrating independence from a tyrant who wants to be king. Father, we thank you we are free from all the works of the enemy. Father, we thank you that we can praise your name, Lord God, that we can pray to you, then you will be our ever-ready help in our present times of trouble now. Father, I pray that you begin to move in each and every believer's life. Father, I bless them, Lord God. I bless them with your power, with your love, with your wisdom, Lord God, that as they go forth, that mountains will quake in their presence. Lord God, that the demons in hell will realize who they are. Father, that when they wake up in the morning, their bodies will be restored. Their bodies will be healed. Their minds will be cleared. Father, that they will walk forth in your truth and righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.